Last week I talked about the incarnation. And one of the points I made last time was that God knows how hard it is to be human because he came as a human and went through all the stuff that we go through. And so when we're going through difficult things, he understands us. And one of the things that I mentioned is God is not cruel, which is to say he doesn't do things simply out of meanness. He may put you through trials, certainly will. He may put you into difficulties, but it's not because he's cruel, it's because he thinks that that is good for you, and of course he knows those things. Character development is not fun, because character development requires you to be something that you are not now. And if you were what you hope to be, then you wouldn't need to be developed, it would be painful. So character development is typically pretty unpleasant. The other part of that is, God is not cruel, but people are. So as you go through life, you're going to run into people who are perverse and cruel and wicked, and that's what I would call unmanaged human cruelty. If you have free will, so does the guy that is afflicting you. If God doesn't deal with you, he doesn't deal with him. But what God promises as we go through this unmanaged human cruelty, he will be with us and will go along with us. So what I want to talk to today is, what should our response be to all of that? What should we do? And the answer I'm going to propose is, be grateful. So what I want to do is talk about gratitude and how that should work in your life and how that works with relationship to God and how that works with relationship to your character. The Hebrew word for gratitude is hikarat hatov, which means looking for or seeing the good. So in every situation that you're going to be in, some of which are going to be very difficult, you can always look and typically find something good. So if you're always focused on your problems, then it becomes very hard to be grateful. If, however, in your problems, you look around and say, well, what's the sunshine here? There's got to be some. There always is. And if you focus on that, it gives you gratitude. So I want to talk about this on two levels. First, I want to talk about it on the personal level, what it means to you as an individual. And then I want to talk about a societal level. In other words, what gratitude means at the level of a society. Gratitude is good for you. They did a study a number of years ago. Fledgling nuns, as they're about to go into the convent, they did a survey, personality survey and all that kind of stuff with them. And they tracked them over the years, because nuns sort of move in a wad. And they don't go off in all directions and lose track of them because they're all right there in the convent. And they checked them after 20 years and 40 years and so forth. And what they discovered is that women who had an attitude of being grateful lived longer, were more healthy, were, of course, happier than those who came in there with sort of a pessimistic attitude of, everything's terrible and I'm escaping the world because I don't want to be in the world because everything out there is terrible. So being grateful is good for you. It's also the antidote to envy, self-pity, malice, and covetousness. One of the things that this world does is it tries to make you covetous. That, by the way, is what advertising is. So you get bombarded with advertising saying, boy, if you have this, whatever that is, you're going to be happy, or you're going to be better looking, or you're going to be more successful, or whatever. But it's all focused on what you don't have. And trying, of course, to get you to grab some stuff that you don't have now at a price, of course. The whole society is sort of geared toward that. And that's what you're sort of swimming in. And the final thing that gratitude will do for you is give you some meaning in your life. Because in order to be grateful, there has to be someone to whom you are grateful. If you're going to be grateful, you've got to be grateful to somebody. You can't just sort of be grateful into the atmosphere. So gratitude, again, focuses you on God. Kay was, I think, probably on Facebook, and I was sort of looking over her shoulder the other day, and there was this TikTok video of a young woman. And this young woman, for her 16th birthday, had been given a brand new Tesla. She was throwing an absolute fit because she wanted a Mercedes. That's not gratitude. Now, a couple of things here. Her parents were the ones that posted this thing, and in my humble opinion, they sort of were advertising their failure in character development with this young woman. But the point is, her parents' attitude was, "You ungrateful little so-and-so." So if God is giving you stuff, and you are not looking up to God and saying, "Thank you," you're sort of putting God in the position of the parents of this young woman who was pitching a fit because a Tesla just wasn't good enough for her. It had to have been a Mercedes. Oh yeah, there's an old story. You probably all heard this one. My wife just suggested it to me. Christmas morning, for those who still celebrate Christmas, there is a pile of horse manure under the Christmas tree. And this little boy comes running out, and he looks at it, and his eyes get really, really big, and he goes out to the garage, and he gets a shovel, and he comes in, and he starts digging through this, and his parents look at him like, and he says, "With all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony in there." But the point is, always looking for something good, and gratitude in your relationship to God. Sort of keep in mind that young woman and her Tesla, and check your attitude toward God as you go through your life and say, am I acting like that young woman and her Tesla with relationship to God here? Because God gives us things. God knows what it's like to be human because he was one. She was a man. So when you treat him in a casual or cavalier manner and are not grateful for the stuff that he gives you, just like any other parent, he may stop giving it to you. That's the way that works. The second thing about gratitude is it opens up your heart. There's a Hebrew phrase called timtum halev, which literally means a blocked up heart. And it's obviously not good. And for those of you who have been through the Musar course, and if you haven't, it's on my website, you can go through it. The whole point of opening up your heart is as you express gratitude and feel gratitude and are grateful for the things around you, your heart opens up and then you begin also to flow freely and you begin to give, which is one of the things that you're designed to do. So gratitude comes first, and then after that, as your heart opens up, you will start giving as well, and you will then become a source of blessing to other people. And if you don't do that, you have what's called a constipated heart. You know how uncomfortable the other kind of constipation is? Well, a constipated heart is just as bad, but unfortunately not quite as painful. So recognize that there's no limit to what you lack. If you're going through life focusing on what you lack, you're always going to have something out there that will draw your attention because there's no limit to what you lack. What you want to do is focus on what you have. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with ambition. So if you have got yourself a car, and it's getting you around and so forth, and you'd like to buy a more reliable car, or a more luxurious car, or just a more beautiful car, nothing wrong with that, provided you're willing to go to work, earn the money, and then spend the money you earn to buy yourself a new car. No problem. The problem is when your neighbor has a better car than you have, and you look at that and you want that car. That's the difference. So I'm not talking against ambition. I'm not talking against trying to build stuff. I'm not talking against saving and accumulating wealth, because God motivates us with all those things. God says, if you follow my ways and you walk in my path, I will bless your socks off. There will be nobody barren in your land. Your animals will not miscarry. You'll have to get rid of the old crop to put the new crop in the barns. So he motivates you with abundance and blessing like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. The problem is when you think you deserve it. And if you think you deserve it, then you're on the way to ingratitude. And you're on the way to the young woman with the new Tesla. Because if you're not getting what you think you deserve, then you've got a problem. And in the case of God, he's God and you're not, and he knows what's good for you. So if he isn't giving you a new Mercedes, it's probably because you don't need one. And in fact, it's probably because it wouldn't be good for you. So as you go through life, be very clear. Working, trying to get nice things, trying to have a nice house, all of those kinds of things are perfectly benign, provided you don't think you deserve them. You got to work for them and earn them just like everybody else, and that's all fine. And then when you get them, you look up to God and you say, thank you. Thank you. Because you have arranged that my work pays off in this piece of fruit that you have just given me. There's an old Jimmy Stewart movie, a long time ago. It's called Shenandoah. Black and white, I don't know how old it is. I've watched it several times. It's a good movie. Jimmy Stewart is a widower, and he's got several children. And his wife was a Bible thumper. Jimmy Stewart is not. But his wife asked him to promise that he would bring his children up in the church and set them on a Christian path. And he is faithful to his word. He said he would do that. So they're sitting around the table, and he's saying grace. And I can't quote it exactly, but the essence of it is, God, we thank you for this food. We cleared the land. We plowed the field. We planted the seed. We pulled all the weeds. We defended it, but we thank you for it anyway. Now, other than his attitude, that's really good theology. I mean, his attitude is not good, but his theology is okay. In fact, I had a friend that was a real estate guy years ago, and he was walking by somebody's house and looking at the garden and all that kind of stuff and saying to the guy out there working in his garden, my, it is just wonderful and amazing what you and God have done with this piece of property. And the guy said, you should have seen it when it was just God. And again, except for the attitude, the theology is excellent. Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to work on the garden and so forth. But the increase in the results are a blessing from God. So yes, you have to do all this work. You got to plow. You got to plant. You got to water. You got to do all that stuff. But understand that the increase is a gift from God. And be grateful in that process. One of the things that gratitude does is it frees you from envy. And envy, by the way, is idolatry. Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. God doesn't want you to be covetous. And gratitude is a specific antidote to covetousness. And recognizing, as I say, that, yeah, you got a lot of work to do, but the increase is from God. Now, let's talk about it on a societal level, the kingdom level, as I have in my notes here. One of the problems is that our church, the Christian church in the West, lacks the authority and the desire to rein in the culture. Okay. Two things there. They don't have the authority because the culture isn't paying any attention to them. And they don't even actually much want to do it. So, for example, we had the leader of a major Christian denomination tell all his priests, hey, it's okay to bless homosexual unions. Well, wait a minute. God says, no, it's not. So what that's saying is, he is following the culture instead of leading the culture. And by the way, there's a passage of scripture for that too. Jeremiah 5 verse 30. This is not good, by the way. An appalling and horrible thing is happening in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule in their direction. So the prophets are saying stuff that isn't from God, and the priests are saying, right on. Here we go. Prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule in the direction. My people love to have it so. In other words, the prophets are saying the wrong things in God's name, the priests are saying amen, and the people are saying, yeah, that's right. That's what our church is today. And it finishes up, my people love to have it so, but what will you do when the end comes? In other words, this thing that you have got yourself into is not permanent. There's going to be a change, and it's going to be a change you're not going to like. Our abundance has allowed us to postpone cultural development. So our hearts are lifted up and proud. We think we deserve all of this, and because of our abundance, we are not desperately seeking God. And the churches don't have any desire to fix that. And Doug Wilson, boy, I like his social commentary. He said that Thanksgiving is a weapon in the cultural war. Antidote for envy, self-pity, malice, and covetousness. And those are the things that drive our society. Look at the news, look at advertising, look at everything. All of these various isms, okay, communism, socialism, reparations, all of that kind of stuff, are nothing more than an expression of self-pity, malice, and envy. All the hyphenated justice out there that you have, social justice, sexual justice, you know, whatever, if it isn't just justice, if there's a hyphen with it, it is evil. But it sounds good, and my people would have it so. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Sounds good, but not, because it doesn't match up with the Word of God. So, talk about mitzvot. Hebrew word meaning doing things that God says you're supposed to do, doing good. And what a mitzvah does when you do it is it changes you first, and it changes the world around you. A mitzvah is not something you think about. A mitzvah is something you do. So when you see somebody out there that is hungry and cold and you give him a blanket, that's a mitzvah. If you see somebody out there who is hungry and cold and you say, oh, wow, he's hungry and cold, I'm feeling really sorry for him, that's not a mitzvah because you didn't do anything. And what the mitzvah does is it changes you, because you're doing things in accordance with God's word, and that is changing you. But it also changes the world, because you are doing something positive in God's name and according to God's instruction for somebody else. It may be as simple, as I say, seeing somebody that needs a coat and giving him a coat. Or it may be something more complex and deeper. But the point is, it changes things, and that's what you want. Now, as you go through your life, you don't want simply to get rid of sin. Because if you get rid of sin and don't replace it with anything else, it leaves a void. So getting rid of sin is a good thing, but it's only good if you replace it with a virtue. What you don't want is you don't want an empty space there where sin used to be and nothing filling it back up. You've all heard the parable that Yeshua said, if you cast out a demon and you send it off to the dry places, it turns around and tries to come back, And if it finds the house all swept out and empty, then it not only comes back itself, but it brings seven more, and you're that much worse off. So the whole thing, when you get rid of one of these things, is not to leave an empty space there, but to fill it with a virtue. So as you're going through your life and doing these mitzvot, understand that it changes you, but it also builds your character, and that's what you want. So, gratitude. First off, for salvation. What he took us out of, and what he took us out of, was the kingdom of sin and death, and brought us into his own kingdom. We're grateful for guidance. One of the things that he did is he gave us a book. And that book is intended to guide us as we go through our life. The other thing he gives us is the Holy Spirit, which is also for guidance as you go through your life. As I'm very fond of saying, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's the one that comes alongside you. He is not the holy problem solver. You're still going to have problems, and you're still going to have to figure out what to do about them. But understand that God is with you in that. He says he will be, and he gives you the Spirit as tangible evidence that he is with you. And then finally, giving thanks for provision. You're all here. I'm assuming all of you had breakfast. We're going to have a lovely lunch back there in a little while. The building is heated. There's all sorts of wonderful things going on right here. Be aware of that. Look for that. Kirat HaTov, which is to say, look for the good. And as you look around, there's lots of good. You got people to talk to. You got, as I say, breakfast. We're going to have lunch in a bit. It's nice and warm. All sorts of things to be grateful for. Finally, gratitude is a manifestation of a mature heart. Remember I said lack of gratitude stops up the heart or constipates the heart. Gratitude is a mark of a mature heart. The mark of a heart that is trained. It is a mark of a heart that is doing what God wants it to do. And it's not any longer following in the desires of the flesh, if you will. So, the world is a very dark place right now. In fact, I was talking to Matthew. Matthew's my son. A couple days ago. And he was at work, and they've just had their sixth child. Had her in December. And somebody at work said, how can you bring a child into this world the way it is? You ever heard that sentiment before? Well, I will guarantee you that sentiment has been prevalent ever since Adam. The world is always a dangerous and dark place. Bringing children into the world is the solution. And so you want to bring children in because children come in with a brain and a couple of hands and some feet, and they can help make things better. And that's his attitude. And I agree with that. So light is the antidote to darkness. So be a light. Be grateful. And shine the light of your gratitude. One of the things that Kay and I do as we're walking around and going to places like that is store clerk will ask you how you are, which is sort of a formulaic thing. They got to ask everybody. And I say, I'm greatly blessed and beloved of God. And sometimes they say, yeah, me too. Sometimes they look at me like, what planet did you come from? But that's okay. They still got to sell me whatever I'm buying, even if they look at me like I'm, what planet am I from? And by the way, that phrase can be one of two things. It can be an expression of gratitude, which is how I mean it. It can also be an expression of pride. So if you decide to use a phrase like that, check your heart. Are you being proud and boastful, or are you expressing gratitude for what you've been given? A giving and grateful heart is a sign of a mature heart. That's our proper response to all of the blessings that God has given us. Gratitude.